Hi, my name is Vanessa Bierschaeffer. I'm in charge of Via Europa, the special edition of the Solari Report for Europe. My job is to give you information about what's going on in Europe and France more specifically, since I'm living in France. Right now, I am in the south of France by the Pyrenean region that is very famous for the Cathar, Templar, Albigens stories and history, but that will be for another time. Today is a very special day. That's why I wanted to make this video today, even if it's a bit late right now. It's May the 8th, which is a holiday for us, which means that we're not working. It's a V-Day, the day of victory when the Germans surrendered at the end of World War II, May the 8th, 1945. Actually, they surrendered one day before. It was May the 7th, around 9 o'clock in the evening. And they did so in a very famous city in France, Reims. Why do I say famous? Because it was the city where the French kings were crowned. And I find this detail very interesting. Actually, Stalin wanted the Germans to surrender in Berlin, but for different reasons, it wasn't made so. Why am I speaking about the military thing? Of course, it's a day where we should be celebrating freedom and we're in lockdowns. But the second thing is that a couple of weeks ago, mid-April, something very interesting happened. A former military personnel, retired from the military, published a petition online on the website called Place d'Armes, which in French means the place where you regroup as military people and where you put the flag up. And he published a petition that was signed off by around 20 generals and many other military staff, all of them or almost all of them retired. And it was a very short petition, where they called upon the French politicians and the government to act, to put things in order, and to change the direction we are taking. It's a very short text, rather precise. And this text was then published by a newspaper or magazine called Valeurs Actuelles, which is more a right-wing publication. And when it was published, it became a big event in France. Why so? Because it's the first time we have the military expressing itself publicly. I've never heard of something like that in my whole lifetime. And if we go back to the beginning of the Fifth Republic, the regime we're in here, which is 1958, there's no other instance where the military will express itself this way or in any other way. You have to bear in mind that the military is called the big mute, the big silent. Military people are not supposed to make any comments on the policies and the way the government behaves. And there could be some kind of sanction for the people, the military staff who will do such thing. The reaction from the government was kind of interesting because there were two ministers who really made comment. One was the one in charge of the trade and economy. She said, oh, it's only a bunch of retired generals in their sleepers, meaning that they're not very dangerous and not very important. And the other minister who reacted is the Ministry of the Army, Florence Parly. And she said that these people will be sanctioned, not saying how, when, or for what reason, but it was a scandal that the military, even retired, will make comments on what the government is doing. Now, Florence Parly is very interesting because she has no military background. She is a high rank civil servant. She used to work for the rail and transportation company SNCF with, at that time, a big amount of money, a big income. And she was put in this place by Macron as a minister of the army. Her husband is also very interesting. He is in charge of the financing, an entity that in charge of financing the French debt. So higher ranking civil servant too. So what is more interesting than that is that we have two contradictory messages, one saying, oh, it's no big deal what they said. And the other one says, oh, they're going to be sanctioned. So it's self-contradictory, but it's, I think, meant to show that they're able to strike back. But at the same time, it shows that they're feeling weak, because you don't need to make this kind of comments if you feel you're good and you're strong. Again, I've never heard of something like that. Maybe you know that Charles de Gaulle was or head of state at the end of the Second World War. Then he had to resign, and then he came back in the 50s. He created the Fifth Republic in 1958. The reason why he came back was that because he was called upon by the many politicians, because the situation was very difficult. There were a lot of troubles, and mainly these troubles were due to the Algerian War. By Algerian War, I mean when France had to get away from Algeria. It was very difficult. At that time, the young people had to stay 2 years in the military service, and sometimes they were doing pretty bad things. A whole generation is marked by the Algerian War. I say generation, maybe many generations. Like maybe we could have as comparison the Vietnam War for the young U.S. soldiers. So, of course, Charles de Gaulle was a general, a military man, but anytime he felt that the population was not in line with his policy, he used to step aside, to move away from the political scene. The other information that I found related to this political event, which I really think is big, is that we have two brothers that are gradually moving in the political scene. One is Philippe de Villiers, is a former right-wing politician, a conservative Catholic one from the east of France. He's been retired from the political scene, as he says, but is publishing books. And the last one recently, where he denounces the European Union, the NGOs, Soros, and the whole system being corrupted, according to his conclusions. So he calls for a big change and a reformation of the society if you don't want to go deep under the water. His brother, Pierre de Villiers, is a military man. That's where I connect the two things. He was head of the military when Macron got elected in 2017. Actually, he was in charge of the military, and he resigned shortly after because he had been invited to a Senate committee to speak of the military, and more specifically, the budget for the military. And he said that this budget was dire, there wasn't enough money for the military, and that was a big trouble. Normally, this committee is in closed door, which was the case, but his comments were published outside, and he was attacked from different sides, and so he decided to resign. He didn't want to stay in a situation where he wasn't backed by the head of state. My feeling is that, you know, at that time I thought, oh, there are infights, there's a new president coming in, so maybe someone wants to replace Pierre de Villiers, because it happens that in this kind of where there's a new personnel, new staff, you want to change the heads. It's sad, but it happens. Now that I see the military people moving in and the big publishing campaign that Philippe de Villiers, brothers of Pierre de Villiers, is doing, I have the feeling that there's a kind of relationship between the two, and maybe they're moving in towards a political resolution of the current troubles. Also, I mean, the social state in France is very difficult. We had the Yellow Vest movement before COVID-19. Actually, a farm main in Cholet, a small city in France, had decided to put their backs on the prefect and the mayor of the city during a ceremony and walk away. They literally walked away from the mayor and the prefect, showing their discontent. We also had lawyers, we had nurses, we had policemen demonstrating, throwing up their robes, throwing out their handkerchiefs. It was social unrest everywhere. And then it was in January in 2019, Macron said, okay, let's have a couple of months of big debate, large debate all across France, and we'll try to find solutions. At that time, I found it a bit strange, because your president, you're surrounded by smart people or supposedly smart people. You know what France is going through. You know what the troubles are. So really, you don't really need to organize big communication events throughout France. My feeling at the time was that Macron needed time, and he was doing that because it was, in a sense, he knew something was going to happen, but he had just to wait until then. So these big debates were designed to make the people, the population, wait and be quiet. And then, of course, in 2020, COVID-19 hit. I'm not saying he was aware of what was going to happen. I'm not saying he was in any type of organization. I'm saying my feeling was that he was expecting something big to happen that will allow him to get away from the social unrest. But nothing has been solved. And I'm not sure it's not going to go again when the lockdowns are over. So I think it's buying up some time before the next presidential election that will take place in May 2022. I don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of things that can happen until then. I think the old way of looking at things, waiting for electoral results, looking at political campaigns, is over. I think we can see it from the American elections. Right now, it's no use to anticipate or thinking of strategy for the next elections, because I think the old system is not really telling of the social atmosphere and the economic atmosphere in the country. What is more telling is the songs and the cultural atmosphere. Now I'm going to talk about the song of a very famous French actor, Gérard Lanvin. Gérard Lanvin is a very masculine and yet sensitive comedian. Now he's well in the, I think it's in the beginning of his 70. Yes, he's 70 years old. Very, very nice looking man. And he has two sons, one of which is a musician. And so last year they decided to play and write music together. And he has just released an album. And one song in particular caught my attention, and I think many people in France. It's called Between le dire et le faire, between saying and doing. So what I'm going to do is that I'm going to read the translation that I made of this song. It's and you see, the reason why I wanted to discuss about this, to comment on this song, is that he's speaking of the last three presidents, Sarkozy, Hollande, and Macron. And it's very, very, in a very funny way and very precise at the same time. And the very interesting thing is that it's starting at Sarkozy. Sarkozy was the one who reintegrated France into NATO. Before that, France was a part of NATO. We were not actually, or at least officially, we're not a country a member of NATO. Then when Sarkozy arrived, the first thing he did was to put France in NATO. And then we had Hollande and then Macron. So between saying and doing, we had the shaken from the Karcher. That's Sarkozy, because Sarkozy said on TV, he will clean up with Karcher the area I was visiting. It was a very bad area, very with a lot of criminals, young criminals. So he said he will clean it up with Karcher. Getting remarried, that's all he has been able to do. Actually, he divorced very shortly after his election, and he married Carla Bruni, who was a very famous former model in the 90s. Actually, it was the first time a French president divorced. And I think he made a deal with his former wife to stay together and then separate just right after the election, because he knew that if they had separated before, he had no chance of getting elected. I mean, if the wife doesn't trust her husband, how can a population trust the president? It must be said that with these people, one doesn't give a damn about others. One thinks about oneself only. Get out of it, poor asshole. Take it for yourself. Sarkozy said to someone who refused to shake hands with him in public, get out, asshole. So what Gérard Lanvin is saying is that what you say to other, just do it yourself. It was kind of shocking way of replying to somebody, because it was very vulgar. World power in short heels. Alors, Sarkozy is very short, about 1.64 meters high, is shorter than I am. So to compensate, he's used to wearing short heels to look taller. We were all well up with that, between saying and doing. In the middle, there is the ocean. Little roosters will never be able to fly like eagles. Oh, this is the chorus, and this is a reference to the US. Rooster is the symbol of French people, eagle of the USA. The ocean is mentioning in the middle is the Atlantic. So he's implying that French presidents since Sarkozy are under the power of the USA. They're just following. And on top of that, they pretend they are as big or as powerful as the US or the Americans, but they are not. They're roosters, not eagles. Then there was the one with the bewildered look. Actually, that's Hollande, who came after Sarkozy. It did not take long for him to be called jelly. Button stretch over his back belly, exposed on a scooter to join his girlfriend. So actually what happened is that his bodyguard drove him from the Elysian Palace on a scooter to meet his girlfriend, who was next street. And this was exposed by a newspaper. And of course, everybody made fun of him. You have to imagine a rather short, with a little of a belly, sitting behind his bodyguard on a scooter, going next street under the rain. That wasn't very flamboyant, I can say the least. He withstood the rain well, mistaking himself for James Bond. If being ridiculed kills, there are dead people in the streets. between saying and doing, in the middle, there's the ocean. Little roosters will never be able to fly like eels. On the highest stair, they put the kid, is telling about Macron. The teacher told him, they are beautiful, your drawings. The teacher actually is his wife, who was his teacher in high school, and they are 25 years apart. Look straight in the eyes when you shake hands. You, the king of the teleprompter with a trickster smile, sit in your place. We won't make you get up here. Go back to your mistress, she will explain it to you. Between saying and doing, in the middle, there's the ocean. Little roosters will never be able to fly like eagles. Okay. So I advise you, if you have some time, to have a look at the video. I think we'll post the link under this one, so you can listen to and watch the video that Gérard Lanvin did of his song Between Saying and Doing. I think it's very funny, very nice. You'll see there are pictures that goes with the lyrics. So I think you will understand perfectly with the pictures. You will follow the lyrics, even if they're in French, you will understand what's going on. It's very fun. Another song actually who gave rise to flash mobs in France is from HK Saltimbanques. Alors, saltimbanques are people working in circus. And HK, the leader, wrote a very nice song. The music is very catchy, and the lyrics are very subtle, very nice, elegant. It's a complaint about what's going on under the lockdowns, but it's written in a way you have this feeling that you're, it's like people under a royal tyranny are complaining about it. So it's elegant in the formulation. It's not violent at all. The music itself is very nice. And you can see from the flash mob video, maybe we'll have links too, so you can watch, that it's very entertaining. One of the flash mobs took place in Gare du Nord, in the North Station in Paris. That's how I got the information, through one video that was posted on the social network. And then I found out there were, well, about dozens of these across France and also in Belgium and Italy. In Italy, in Bologna, where they translated the song into Italian. So here again, I will read the translation. Okay, it starts with, we want to keep on dancing, see our thoughts, embrace our bodies, spend our lives on a chord greed or musical greed. Oh, no, 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 we want to keep on dancing, see our thoughts, embrace our bodies, spend our lives on a chord greed. We are birds of passage, never docile, nor really wise. We do not pledge allegiance, I'm down in all circumstances. We come to break the silence. And when in the evening on TV, the good king has spoken, come to announce the sentence, we show irreverence, but always with elegance. Drive, subway, work, purchase, self-attestation that we sign, nonsense on prescription, and woo to the one who thinks, and woo to the one who dances. Every measure of authority, every whiff of security, sees our confidence vanish. They show so much insistence to confine our conscience. Let's not be impressed by all these unreasonable people, sellers of fear in abundance, how roaring to the point of indecency. Let's keep them at bay for mental health, or social and environmental well-being. Our smiles, our intelligence, let's not be without resistance, the instruments of their insanity. So you see the lyrics is pretty, and the music, I think you'll find very nice too. So this is for the cultural and military events in France. On the more on the larger spectrum, what is going on in Europe mainly is that the European Union wants to impose the sanitary pass on the European citizens and through the states. This sanitary pass will be in the form of a electronic pass on your smartphone. You have to show that either you're vaccinated, I say in brackets because we know it's in more an injection than a vaccine, or that you have a negative test for COVID-19, or that you had COVID-19 and obviously you're in good shape. I know that from a journalist that made comments about it, that in Germany they have started to implement this system, especially in Berlin, and that people don't go to shops that much. I am inferring that they really don't appreciate the system of organizing the flow of people, to say things in an elegant way. And in France, they're talking about making it compulsory for large events, like going to a stadium for a big concert. But of course, we're not stupid, and we think most people know that if they start with it, it will gradually close down to any type of activity, going to the shop, the restaurants, organizing an event, even if within the family circle. So, and basically the problem is that the scientific council that's been put in place to advise the government, to advise the president, it's a body that has never been elected, and we know that most of them are not scientific, well, in the field that normally should be targeted by sanitary and COVID issue. And that's an interesting point, because the decisions that the head of state Macron is making, he does after a private council meets. And at this private council, there's no minutes. So you have no information about what has been said in this private council. You have no way of knowing if there's been exchanges and how they made their decision. So basically we can say that we're no longer in a Republican regime. So going back to the sanitary pass, it comes from the European Union, and the states are gradually trying to impose this system on the population. Well, we see what happens. When it comes to the COVID-19 injections that they call vaccine, there's a doctor called Dr. Delépine. In the video, he explains the different phases of experimentation for a vaccine to be put on the market. And he's mentioned that these injections, be it Moderna or Pfizer, or I think it's Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca, they're all in phase three, which actually they should have done before going into market. So basically they're running an experimentation on the population till 2023. So I think there's a legal basis to say, no, I don't want to be injected with any of these, because this is not a vaccine. This is an injection that is still being tested. And I don't want to be the subject of a medical experimentation. I think there's a lot of legal basis for that. And that's probably the reason why on the sanitary pass, they had to put a negative test for COVID-19, or that you already had COVID-19. That was the only solution to get rid of the fact that the vaccine is not really a vaccine right now. It's just an injection being experienced to become a real vaccine eventually. So we're in the middle of the road, I think, of their system. Dr. Delépine also describes what's happening in England and Israel, according to data that is he has given the reference to. I could find, I think, the link or the video if you're interested. And he says basically that in the places where it's been, the population has been exposed to the injections the most, has been vaccinated the most, a couple of months afterwards, you see a peak of the in the number of deaths. So there's a peak and the number of deaths is higher than what have been experienced before in the former peaks. So it's very interesting in saying that, well, something is happening and it's not COVID-19, it's probably related to these injections. Right now, in the French population, I mean, the people I know, friends, relatives, acquaintances, the opinions are really divided. Some people want to be vaccinated. Some people claim they've been unvaccinated, but there's no heated debate. It's like, well, okay, I think everybody knows people are in or against the injection. So it's like, okay, if we talk about it too much, or if we make big statement, there's going to be a fight. So let's avoid the fight and let's respect the fact that maybe you don't want to be injected, or maybe you want to be injected. I'm very surprised that there hasn't been any heated debate. Maybe a couple months ago, it would have been different. But right now, I think people have a sense that these lockdowns and these rules that are being imposed on us are excessive. And so maybe there's something happening, but they really don't dare saying anything about it publicly. And in the family or in the family area or with friends, we're being very, we're very diplomatic. We don't want to get into a fight. It's my feeling, which is kind of a good feeling, and that makes me very optimistic about the future, because it's not like everybody's crazy about the injection, everybody's crazy about COVID-19. The one thing is also, it's just the beginning, but I think it will come in the future weeks and months, is the injections for children. And I think that's when we'll see some big reaction. I mean, some family won't appreciate if their children are forced to be vaccinated or injected. Others are willing and think it's appropriate things to do. So I think there's going to be a heated debate. Maybe they will wait for next year. They just try to push the most of the population to get vaccinated. And then if the population is not vaccinated enough, they will probably make sure that people have to be injected with one of these injections. Voilà, that's the atmosphere right now in France. I've told you about Germany and Europe for the sanitary pass. The lockdowns are being eased gradually. So in June, normally mid-June, restaurants will be open and shops, all shops will be open. I think we're going to experience some heated moments, because there's a lot of pressure and people need to let the steam off. So anticipating some difficulty with the logistics. I think some products will be highly demanded, while others are not so much in demand. So we'll see what we can buy and why what is not no longer in stock. And I'm starting to see some inflation hitting the food market. That's clearly for the veggies and for other products. And I have a chance, because I'm traveling from back and forth from Paris to Toulouse, and I can and the countryside too. So I can compare the prices. In the countryside, the food is of better quality, and the prices are, well, actually in the south, because it's a agricultural area where I am, the prices are still low and the quality is high. Toulouse, still high quality, prices a bit higher. and you go to Paris, high price, low quality. I mean, it's almost a mathematic formula. The more you get into a big city, the more expensive it gets, and the less quality you get, which wasn't the case a couple of years ago, but it's been now for a decade, I'd say. Real estate prices, still big, still high. Paris hasn't moved. Very few properties for sale, and very high prices. And I anticipate some kind of craziness about all properties that are well located, that are a safe haven for savings. When people will realize that they're being hit by negative interest rates and or hyperinflation, I think they will gonna go for real estate, but a real estate that is well located. People tend to think that family want to rush out of big cities. It's not what I'm seeing. I'm seeing families, especially with young children or teenagers, families that want good school for the children tend to go inside in the inner city, while the retired people also want to stay in because they have more facilities, hospitals, and care than in the countryside. The countryside is less well equipped. So it's for one person that want to get out of the city, I'd say one person wants to stay in. It's for the moment, it's difficult to tell. Of course, people who have been suffering for the lockdowns would like to get away. So for the ones who have financial means, they will have a secondary house around Paris, 2 hour drive, I'd say two hour drive or train around Paris, or they will still have a small property or rental in Paris, and then have a larger property, a bigger property in the countryside. That's the same for other cities in France, but that's the trend that I'm seeing. Okay, that's all, folks, for today. I hope you enjoy my video. And if you have questions, please do send them to Solary Reporter. We'll forward them to me. Bye-bye. Thanks.